السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International this Saturday morning. It's another edition of the Screaming Real program once again, Alhamdulillah. And this morning we're going to be joined on the line by Brother Ali Mangri. Also, not to forget that inshallah in today's program we'll be speaking to Brother Farooq Hassan. Not last week, the week before. When we did speak to him, he mentioned that they were going to go out on a trail last week, and we said it would be something interesting to hear from him first. And but unfortunately, I know many a place where they do go, the signal is either very bad or there is no signal at all, and we couldn't get through to them. So we'll hear more from him, inshallah, in today's program. We're also going to be speaking to Rukman Mia, the sponsor of the Screaming Reels program, Alhamdulillah. And Adil joining us from the school this morning in Azad, but I know they have some sports or some sort of activity for today, and that's the reason that he couldn't be with us in the studios. We're going to go for a break, inshallah, and when we come back from this break, we'll be joined on the line, inshallah, with Brother Adil, and we'll begin with our program for today.
ANC Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabrics. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design. Unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and tulles from the most talented creators of fashion. 5 Pelican Avenue, Linasia, 011-852-4910. ANC, usually unusual fabrics.
Your Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lilla, sadaqa and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Linasia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Please note, Al Tawheed is registered for Section 18A.
The world sure has changed. Everything nowadays seems to be new and improved. Products are updated before they're old enough to be old. Then you get the classics that keep getting it right time after time, because nothing beats an original, like Sunshine D margarine and spreads. High in vitamin D, Sunshine D has been trusted by generations of families in South Africa to deliver that smooth, great taste to celebrate those special occasions, big and small. Now who would want to change that?
Anytime is Shalela time with Sunshine D.
Agilitize yourself with a Mangwanani spa treatment on the 15th of August at Shiraz Auto's exclusive Saturday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. All cars booked in for a service will be eligible for a complimentary Mangwanani treatment at the dealership. Hurry! Limited to 16 bookings only. Purchase any new or certified pre-owned vehicle on Agility Finance and receive a complimentary Mangwanani treatment. All Mobilo and Service Care plans extended as well as tire insurance underwritten will also qualify for a complimentary Mangwanani treatment. Our exciting new V-Class as well as the latest range of Mercedes-Benz cars with Agility offers will be on display. Terms and conditions apply and limited treatment sessions available at Shiraz Auto, exclusive Saturday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 15th of August 2015. Connor Procha Avenue and Nirvana Drive, Linasia. Call 011-213-1100 for more information.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following: oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Linasia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. and receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, our team will be in Bertrams on Thursday, the 13th of August, 58 Kimberley Road. Contact number 083-452-4835. In Houghton, on Friday, the 14th of August, Masjid al-Furqan. Contact number 074-034-7860. In Marlborough, on Saturday, the 15th of August, 5 Islamabad Drive. Contact number 082-855-2677. Technicians for the Gauteng region, Ibrahim Shah, 079-138-4961. Molana Ibrahim Pirali, 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai, 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan, 061-257-5789.
Screaming Reels on Radio Islam, casting you into the exciting world of fishing. Screaming Reels is sponsored by Solly's Angler's Corner, your fishing tackle specialist. Call us at Johannesburg on 011-493-1848 and Fourways on 011-465-2937.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It's Saturday morning, the Screaming Reels program. Once again, alhamdulillah, and on the line with us this morning, we are joined by Brother Ali Al-Manmi. Ali, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And sujati mawla to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
Ali, I don't know if it's the phone line, or nowadays you're making salam with me again, but you said half wa alaikum salam. So I think that the listeners will hear the full one again, Ali, from you.
Are you serious?
Yeah. We just had salam wa rahmatullah, like that part of it. You know what
I said? Wa alaykumus salam. Was my tajweed correct?
That was so much better. We just have to check the
tajweed. And to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners, don't forget them.
No, but now we have to check your tajweed now, but later. No. That wasn't correct now. What's happening, Adil?
I'm currently standing in the principal's office. Don't worry, I'm not in trouble.
Okay.
I'm... You're not
anybody else into trouble, any of the anxious as well.
Yeah, well, today the principal's office is not open for that sort of problems. We are having our school sports function,
mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to see how many people are so excited and turned up in the colors, and, you know, I don't know if you remember sports.
Mm. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I used to take part in most of the activities when we have sports. So I remember the sports days of school quite fondly.
Yeah. It's good to see how people are coming in their colors and to support their team, you know, parents, the kids as well. There's such a lot of energy and the atmosphere is wonderful.
It's not quite late in the year, is it?
Yeah, you see, it's actually called our Sports Fun Day.
Mm-hmm.
But this year our theme is athletic, so we'll be mainly doing the races. We do have a sports in the beginning of the year where the learners are taken out for, you know, the inter-primary and stuff like that. But this one here is basically, it's more of a fundraiser to get the community together, and we'll be selling biryani later today.
Okay.
Must I order one for you?
Bring it there, it'll be something nice to have, man.
Yeah, it's the Ashraf Jogi's biryani stops. I think the whole of Azad world knows about it.
Mm.
So from 12 o'clock, he'll be here. We'll be selling the coupons for the biryani, and we've got sausage rolls as well. I'll be brying today the whole day, so I'll be doing what I like to do.
I see you like to stay around the fire and around the food. And
yeah, my theme is always going to be camping, even if I'm at the sports.
Okay, interesting. I'll tell us about, you said that the week before, I remember.
Yeah.
You guys were out at the dam,
yeah.
Weather was cold.
We last week, alhamdulillah, we had an interview with Bilal Qadar from our survival group.
Mm.
And he was explaining to the guys just what, you know, sort of preparation and stuff like that needed to go into something like that.
Yes.
And then I told you last week I might be going fishing, and unfortunately I didn't get a chance to go, and it was a long weekend.
Okay.
And I spent most of it sitting at home.
Obviously,
we, Yeah, we've also spoken to Luqman last week, and what the feeling around everywhere, even, you know, the guys who responded on the website and who keep on sending us emails and WhatsApps and stuff, it looks like fishing is very good at the moment.
I received a WhatsApp, it was yesterday, I think, brother sent me a picture and they sent a message saying, Jumaa Mubarak, 12 and 4 kilograms salmon caught last week in Coffee Bay.
Okay, now that's towards the west coast.
Yes. Now, I don't know, so I think maybe if the brother or the listener, sister, whoever it was, they send an SMS in with regard to the fish, maybe they can give us a call, inshallah. I see the picture as well. I see the brother standing in the back and holding the fish. Looks lovely, looks beautiful. Maybe they can give us a call as well, inshallah, 011-854-1548. That is 011-854-1548. And we can talk to our listeners with regard to it, where they went, what happened exactly. It would be something very, very interesting. We need one of our listeners out there to call us and tell us about their experience that they had now recently, that is after Ramadan, at the waters, and tell us exactly what happened. And you know, something interesting, like we used to get those calls just before Ramadan, Adil.
You know, you're talking about Coffee Bay, and you're reminding me of Marhum Yunus Ajam, who came into the studio a couple of times to give us that whole report back on that particular area and the pebbles and, you know, what an excellent person, you know. Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannah, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Also, in the program, we're going to be speaking to Luqman Mia, our engineer, Brother Osama. We'll get hold of him, inshallah. And we'll find out what's happening locally. And Luqman will give us some information internationally as well. When we say internationally, then we mean just beyond our borders, just beyond our borders. Mm-hmm. We'll find out exactly what's happening there as well, inshallah, because like Luqman said, that now the fishing should pick up and should start getting good all over. In terms of weather-wise, Adelaide, in the days already, it's warming up quite nicely. Just that during the course of, or rather, after Asr, come after Maghrib, and then it starts getting much more chilly, it starts getting a bit cold.
Mm.
I see you sent me a nice photo also, I love two lovely,
this,
lovely, lovely
this
looking
picture
there.
Was sent to me from one of the Zimbabwean anglers.
Okay.
Actually, it was my brother-in-law's father-in-law, Uncle Abu Zar. I went fishing with him a couple of times before, and he's got his family still in Zim.
All right.
And if you look at the fish that I've just sent you, that one is about plus minus 8.5 to 9 kilos, because the one that the guy's holding in the right hand side, that one is a 3 kilo fish.
That looks like a baby now, comparatively.
That looks like this one.
Literally
eats
looks like a...
Yeah. It's very close to actually being, you know, a record size.
100%.
But can you see what a monster it is? And apparently...
It has a very big belly as well. So
yeah.
I think that adds to that weight a lot as well.
Exactly. But the size of the fish is the important thing. And there's a lot of good fishing apparently in Zimbabwe. But like you say, when Luqman comes on, we'll get a bit of a report back from him, inshallah.
Mm. Okay, let's see. We have Brother Luqman with us. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, yourself, Luqman.
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum, Adil, and to all the listeners as well.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. Luqman, recently there's been a lot of response from our listeners talking about local fishing spots. How are the local fishing spots doing currently?
It's still early days, you know, though. It's not like it hasn't peaked yet, so the spots are not firing at the moment.
Mm.
But it should, you know, you can feel, like I said last week, the days are getting warmer, the days are getting longer.
Yeah.
So I think if the weather stays and we don't have any major cold fronts or whatever pushing in, fishing should be good all round.
So it's just a matter of time, basically. So guys can start preparing and start chancing it already.
Yeah, most definitely you can start. Like we said last week, taking out the tackle, shining the rod, shining the reels, and hitting the waters now.
Well, which areas would you recommend, sort of like in the vicinity of our Johannesburg area?
It depends what type of fish you're targeting. If you're a carp, you know, Vaal Dam has always been the premier carping destination. When you're going to get numbers, if you want to get quantities of fish, Vaal Dam has always been a top venue.
Hmm.
Vaal River, if you're going to target yellows, muddies, or barber, And then your bass is also, most of your guys are familiar with the dams in and around the area where you can fish for bass.
So basically, you know, like your normal names, like your Falkop and Rodekoppies?
That's all, you know, all those dams have got different species. That's why I say it's important, or you need to know which type of fish you're targeting. Mm. But if you're making mention of specific species, then there's some dams that do better than others.
Yeah. What's happening at the moment at Rustavandor?
We haven't had any serious reports coming through, but it generally the bears start biting in around this time of the year, so we haven't had any feedback yet, but I'm sure those fish will be on already.
Why I'm asking is because I remember the last time I think we were talking about the boating clubs saying that they're going to stop fishing there for a while. What was the result? Are they sort of opening up now to go back there, or...?
It was never closed. We never heard anything of that nature. The only thing guys were told to take precaution because there's a few aggressive hippos and there's a few aggressive crocodiles.
Okay.
That was the only two reasons we knew, but it was more just take precaution. We didn't hear, or I personally haven't heard of any other reasons that they closed the dam.
And the whole dam, Rukman, last year also there was that rumors, or whether it was true as well, with regard to the dam.
I think that matter has been resolved, and you can go back and fish it. It seems to be open now. We've had clients go through, we've had people go through, I think yesterday or day before. Yesterday people caught well again, so yeah, it's open and people can go.
And we were talking before you came on about over the border, Lukman, some beautiful pictures of bears coming in on caught in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe always produces, you know, it's going many, many years back. It is a premier destination. But sadly, again, yesterday I had a local Zimbabwean fisherman in. And yet again, you know, it's man's influence that's destroying the ecosystems, destroying the fish population. He mentioned particularly Dawendale, which was a premier bass water, or fishing for that matter, bream, the chesa, and big bass, obviously. And what happened is pollution, number one, he says it's gone from crystal clear to looking like arties, that they call it pea soup color, you know, it's gone that very green, very polluted, and net, they say you don't even go 50 meters, every sort of 50 or 100 meters is net. So again, you know, a premier fishing water has been destroyed again. So even in Zimbabwe it's starting to take toll, where they're still catching good fishes within nature reserves or estates, like Materi is, fortunately that's within a sugar estate, that's why it's still managed. But he even mentioned that they still do battle with poaching problems. So Zimbabwe is good, and how long it remains to be good depends on man's influence again and our tendency to destroy what Allah has blessed us with.
Look, a lot about Letsiboko news. I know I met some brothers yesterday. They were actually asking. So I said we'll find out from Lukman, and we'll find out from our guys on air, and we'll try and give some reports.
We haven't heard anything serious at the moment. People have been going, but it's again, you know, it's not firing like previous years due to the pressure and disregard and disrespect for the bounties Allah has blessed us and given us. But it will fish well. It is that time of the year, but not like previous years. You'll still get your fish, but in lesser numbers.
Lucky, any new gadgets, tackle and stuff like that for this season that you want to talk about?
Not immediately. You know, this weekend is a major or big, one of the biggest fishing tackle trade show just for dealers. It happens in Johannesburg. It's a once-a-year story. It's not advertised because it's only for dealers to attend, where all importers and wholesalers display the new and latest products. So maybe if we talk next week, inshallah, then I can tell you what is available. But most of the guys launch all the new and exciting stuff at the show. So by next week we'll have a better idea of what's yet to come for the season.
It sounds exciting.
Are you talking about the boat and the fishing show, huh?
No, no, it's two total different. The boat show also happens this weekend at Nazareth.
All right.
There's a Johannesburg boat show, which is separate. Also, if anybody is in the market for buying a boat or upgrading their motor or any water sports or water activities, it is a very nice show to attend to. It's got a big section of boating stuff, boating accessories, boats themselves, and then motors, the latest motors will be on display. So if anybody is serious about upgrading their boats or buying boats, or even just for general knowledge, going and seeing what it's all about, that's open to the public. This one, like I say, it's only for dealers and people in the trade. Yeah.
Okay.
So inshallah, by next week, we can give a better report on latest products in it.
Normally with fishing tackle and stuff also, it has its seasons, am I right?
Yeah, look, winter is generally very slow, you know, fishing is, people don't go, they prefer staying under the blanket.
Mm.
So it is a tough time for us as well in the business. But inshallah, you know, if it warms up nicely, and then summer is a more exciting and better time for us as well.
So next week your shop will be like a candy store for all the guys.
Inshallah.
Luqman, always a pleasure talking to you, inshallah. We can't wait to speak to you next week and see, inshallah, if there's any new gadgets out there that the guys might be interested in. And we'll catch up with you next week, inshallah.
Yeah, but before that, you were talking, or before I came on here, you were talking about 8 kilo fish, and where was that caught?
You don't want to tell us that. You just send us pictures and keep it
going. I got the picture. I don't know where it was caught, but I know it was in Zimbabwe. I'll send you the picture now.
Send me the picture. It will be interesting to see, because you must remember the current SA or Africa record is probably about 7 kilo there.
Yeah.
If this is a 8 kilo, then it's probably the new All Africa record, if it's a 8 kilo.
Well, you check and you be the judge and let us know, because I'm sure by looking at the picture, you'll be able to see what size it really is.
Inshallah, if you send it through, we can check what this is.
It's coming now.
Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Brother Luqman Mia, the sponsor of the program. It's interesting stuff from him, and it's exciting to hear that your fishing season has set in, and like you said, that you can start taking out the tackle, start cleaning them up, getting them shined up, because they should be starting anytime soon.
You know what, you're forgetting one very major and important aspect in this whole thing.
Tell me, I'm listening.
The application of the visa.
No, but now, you know, the other part also where I was going to stop, Luqman, when he said that generally in winter people like staying in their blankets, I was going to say, besides Adil Mangli, he'll go out looking for trouble somewhere.
I have to get a special visa, you see.
He'll go out looking for trouble somewhere and try to feel cold somewhere along the line.
Minus 11 degrees, yeah.
100%. So that weekend, you know, Adil, another thing else is, since you brought up this topic about visa, you said week before last, you're going to let the listeners know whether your application went through or not whilst you were on air. And then when you came on this morning, you said the whole weekend you were at home, so you were declined, basically.
It was declined, unfortunately. I forgot to fill in some of the lines on the form.
Yeah,
and you know how it is with the Minister of Home Affairs.
You got bounced there a little.
They want everything to be in place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say, shukr, alhamdulillah. I make lots of dua for my spouse, my beloved wife. She's very, very understanding.
She
realizes that this is the kind of lifestyle that, you know, I mean, if we don't go, and let's be honest, if we don't go out to the DMs, what are we going to come and talk about on air? We'll have nothing. So it's something that's needed, you know, for the type of program that it's our job.
Adil?
Yeah, I say it's our work that we got to do.
100%. 100%. So we have valid excuses for it. Everybody can't say the same.
No.
Yeah. Other people will find their own excuses in their own ways.
Yeah, we will formulate a special document that you can give to your wife, inshallah, if you want to go fishing, and hopefully you'll also get your paperwork sorted out.
Okay, in the meantime, we're going to try and get hold of Brother Farooq Hassan as well, to hear from him last week, what was happening. And any plans for the coming weeks, any trip that you guys are planning with your brothers, your guys' family anyway?
Well, we've opened up our Sisenda survival camp again at Willow Express.
Right.
The season is in now. So we are open to taking, school groups and stuff. I've had quite a few inquiries as well, especially from certain schools in Western area and things like that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we do, inshallah, hope that we'll have a few trips up to December for the survival camps. And that's going to be interesting, lots of exciting and new things to learn. We've also got plans maybe to go, inshallah. I'm happy that Lukman said Skelpoort is open again, because I would really, really, really love to go back and do some fishing there. And of course, there's so many places that we've been neglecting and we need to go and check out. So I think from now up to December, there's quite a few weekends that we'll be busy with other things, if school functions don't come in the way, obviously.
Okay, interesting. The fishing part of it, fishing part of it. I know the survival. It's quite interesting as well. It makes good for our youngsters out there. I remember like you always say about that weekend that I joined yourself and the family. It was really, really interesting. Something that I really enjoyed personally from what I seen that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of fishing, I think you need to be doing some serious fishing this season, I think.
No, like I said, we've got quite a number of resorts that we've been neglecting that we want to go and check out. What we do is we've got this thing on a website where we do a review of the area. So we basically go to the spot, we stay there for the weekend, fish it, and then try and give the readers on the website or even the listeners on the radio an idea of what to expect when they go there, whether there's good facilities for ablution, whether there's electricity, how's the camping site, how's the fishing, that's very, very important as well, because we'll, in that period of time, we try and use different kinds of baits, etc., to see, and also interview the guys that are doing fishing in those areas. So we will target quite a number of spots on the Vaal, but interesting to go out and see, towards Eastern Trans, Eastern Trans Vaal, coming from Zamana's time, from Mpumalanga area, and I haven't been to the coast in a long time. My intention,
it's been a hell of a long time now. Normally, after Ramadan, then you leave from Adil.
Yeah.
We heard even Ramadan used to be there times, Adil.
Yeah, there was those times, but unfortunately, you know how it goes.
Remember those Ramadans and used to be there as well.
Mm. I haven't been out. It's, in fact, the season with the sardines, although the reports were not very, very good in terms of sardines coming out of the onshore, but offshore, there was quite a bit of netting and stuff done, and there was a lot of sardines that came out. In fact, day before yesterday, a friend of mine sent freshly fried sardines with lemon. If you remember the carapau that Uncle Rashid made, it was something similar to that. Oh, it was beautiful. Lovely stuff. I can feel the taste on my lips now.
We could have started the program that day at 6 o'clock or so.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten fresh sardines?
Yeah.
It's a lot of people will look at it and wonder now, what do you do? But I'm telling you, the taste is extremely unique.
100%. Okay, let's just leave our fishing story for a few moments.
Right.
We're just going to cross over to Brother Farooq Hassan, and we're going to see what happened last weekend when they were out in the bush. And as soon as that's done, inshallah, then thereafter we'll continue with our discussion on the Screaming Reels program. Brother Farooq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Brother Farooq, how are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping, brother?
Alhamdulillah. I think many of the listeners, including ourselves, we were actually anticipating this report back for the first time after the month of Ramadan. You guys were out on a trail last weekend.
In fact, I was just sitting and thinking about the sardines, the fresh sardines that you were talking about. It makes us wish we were at the coast.
You got everybody listening for a fish.
Yeah.
It generally always goes towards the food. Looks like there's always a focus on any discussion. how much time do we have? Because you want to talk about something else after we've
we've got about 12 to 13 minutes.
Alright. Pretty very very quickly, I'm standing with somebody, brother Hussein, was on a trail, on a dusty trail as well. But from what I would like to just discuss quickly before I give over to Hussein to discuss further, something that. This trail that we've been on last year, in fact, it is in the Kruger, in the northern part of the Kruger, very close to Mopani Camp, very rustic, whereby you really get in touch with basics. You tend to realize how you can do with so little. Basically, this trail is it's a little camp, unfenced camp. About 16, 17 kilometers away from Mopani. There's no running water. You carry your own water in. And for that weekend, from Friday till Monday, you're actually very, very limited to the amount of water you have. We had like about 25 liters of water per person to get you through for the weekend.
Mm.
The shower, there's actually just two little structures with a pit toilet, and there's two structures where is a location for a shower. So you basically carry a canvas shower with you. You leave it out in the sun for the morning, and when you come back in the afternoon, you've got nice solar powered hot water. Hamda, we actually, you realize now how little water you can do with.
Mm.
Two showers with about 20 liters of water can work, you know. So you realize how you can do with so little, and how much we do really waste, in essence. But not that I don't want to talk too much about it. If we can just hand over here to Hussein, maybe he can discuss further about the trail. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, Hussein. Sounds like an extremely interesting trail that you guys were on last week. Hussein, we just lost the line there. Okay, we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty. I'm currently on air. We're just waiting for Brother Osama to connect us to everybody else. At the moment, we're busy talking to Farooq Hassan about his trail last week, and he's already mentioned how extremely difficult it was and what lessons they've learned from that. And we're going to be speaking as soon as they come on air, inshallah, to Hussein, who joined them. For those listeners who haven't been listening to the program up to now, we already spoken to Brother Luqman, and interesting thing I was talking about is the boat show this weekend. Guys, we have boats and want to go out, and they want to go and check out what sort of boats are on display at the moment. I think that's happening at Mezrak.
You going to go buy one, are
they? You've got everybody back on here?
I say, are you going to go buy one?
I wish I could buy one.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. I mean, not a problem. I don't know where I'll put it, but yeah.
In the schoolyard, next to the principal's window.
The principal is listening. Don't talk about that. Is Hussein with us?
No.
Oh, we lost Hussein.
Mm. I think they got into the jungle and we lost everybody.
You know what's interesting is what he mentioned about the water. I can relate to what he's saying in terms of going into that sort of environment with the minimal amount of stuff that you take. You really begin to appreciate the area, the bush, the nature of the situation.
100%.
Because,
definitely.
Yeah, because you're like totally dependent on sort of what you have around you, and you've got to make it work. You know, like he says, you take the shower bag and you put it out, and then it heats up, and you've got like a solar powered shower when you come out from the trails or whatever it is that they went on. Do you see yourself going on something like that?
I missed your question there.
I said, do you see yourself going on something like that, a trail like that?
I find it really interesting, Aris.
Yeah.
I really want to go and try something out, like you say. And I think, like you say, when you don't have something by you, that's when you really appreciate it. But now, I probably just to wet our taste buds a bit more and excite us a bit more about this trail that you look forward to. Aris, let's hear from Brother Hussein a bit more on it. He's back with us on the line. Hussein, welcome back to the program.
Can you hear us, Hussein?
Yeah, I can hear you, see.
Hussein, just to so that we don't waste too much of time, tell us a little bit about your highlights of the particular trail that you went on.
Basically, there's two that stand out for me. The one evening when you were blind, you know, somebody mentioned, hey, there's something behind you. And, you know, I turned around and, like, there, five to 10 meters from me was a brown hyena. A spotted hyena.
Sure.
And the other night we had an elephant in camp as well.
Mm.
Literally about 20 meters away from our tents feeding.
And you said this is not a sort of a camp where you've got a fence around it or anything?
No,
like.
It's unfenced. Completely unfenced. So basically there's a drainage line that runs around the whole camp, but there's no fence.
Well, what sort of feeling goes through your heart when somebody tells you, hey, look behind you, and you turn around and suddenly you see this hyena there?
You know, basically, you're sitting on your camp chair, so when you turn around, you're basically looking at the hyena straight in the eye. It's really something else, and I can't explain to you, but...
Is it a fear that runs through your heart at that time?
Gee?
Is it a fear that runs through the heart at that time?
No, I think initially it's more of a shock. You know, you're shocked because you're not expecting to see something like that so close to you, especially with you know, with no fence between you and the hyena. But luckily, you know, they wasn't aggressive, and the moment you stood up, before thinking of anything, the moment you stand up, it actually turned around and walked out of camp.
You see, Hussein, what you're saying is an extremely important thing. Obviously, you're going on a camp with people like Farooq Hassan, and these guys are experienced. Obviously, we have, sitting here in our homes, and we have these certain perceptions, you know, hyena, crocodile, or lion, or whatever it is, and we have these natural fears that come up. But being in the bush, knowing that you are going to see these animals, I suppose the knowledge that you get from these people that you are with, it helps you a lot in taking you through this program. Am I right?
Definitely. And besides that, you know, firstly, you know, we always put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
But secondly, you know, the guys that you go with Farooq and them, they're very experienced. So, you know, you're comfortable knowing that they are there, you know, they know how to handle the situation, they know how to react in certain situations. So, you know, from that point of view, we are very comfortable.
Mm.
So, for example, with the elephant as well, you know, you've seen an elephant in camps, like, you know, if we were alone there, and you see an elephant coming, you know, obviously you're going to be afraid because the elephant's now 20 meters from you. But obviously, you know, the guides know how to handle the situation, and eventually they manage to chase the elephant out of camp.
Right. What sort of feeling comes about you after doing something like this? You know, I mean, like this whole week, I can imagine what your work situation must have been like, because your head must have been in the bush.
Definitely. I think every time you come back from an experience like this, you know, your head is still in the bush. And I think, you know, personally for me, one of the highlights for me, getting out into the bush and you know, it's basically appreciating, besides appreciating nature, you know, you get to see the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. You get to, basically, I mean, the guides explain to you, I know how all the little things come together, you know, you look at the termites and the ants and the bees and the trees and, you know, how this whole ecosystem fits together, you know, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for me, you know, I'm not a very talkative guy or whatever. So when I go on these trails, as you're walking, you know, you're making dhikr and stuff like that. So it's a very humbling experience for me.
Mm.
And then obviously coming back to work, you know, you're back in the rat race, you know, working in Joburg, and you wish you were back there, just out in nature, no cell phone, you know, just appreciating that.
Adelaide, I think just one thing to hear this discussion from Brother Farooq and now Brother Hussein is explaining to us. I think the anticipation of just wanting to hear it was so much. You can well imagine themselves, I mean, going out on the trail and experiencing it firsthand. Like you just asked the question, what must be going through your heart during the course of that week? So I think that build-up to the trail also must be something like really, really exciting, must be really interesting. You know, generally when you go to places like this here, Adil and Hussein, you probably would say the same. I think going out on this trail, you know, it's like when you were a youngster and now you knew you were going out for the day or you were going for a holiday and now you looked at yourself and you thought to yourself, wow, I'm going to this place here. I think that still stays in you, that child sort of instinct. Mm. When you go into a new spot for your fishing, Adil, or like this here, in a trail like this here.
Definitely.
And I think it's not just the day before. It's probably at least a month before you actually go on trail that you're really excited about getting out there. You know, and that's generally the experience that I find with all the people that you actually go with. You know, a month before, everyone's like really pumped up, really excited that you know for the trail.
Hussein, tell us, what are you allowed to basically take with you, and what do you, how do you prepare for something like this?
Look, for this specific trail, the Nyari trail, there's a relative level of fitness that you require. Are you talking in terms of equipment and stuff?
Yeah, equipment.
Just mentally.
What's your kit like?
So basically, because this camp, you drive your own vehicle, you need a high-rise vehicle that you drive into camp, you can basically take whatever luxuries you want. But the bare minimums you need is you obviously need a tent, your sleeping bag, sleeping equipment, and then also for cooking you need a gas stove at least, and the evening is mostly dry. So I mean, we just take our small dry stand with and then obviously minimum of 25 liters of water per person. But obviously, you know, for the hard and serious campers, you know, the guys with rooftop tents and fridges, you know, solar powered fridges and stuff like that. Like I said, because you're actually driving your own vehicle, you can pretty much take whatever you want to.
Okay. Now that's interesting.
So you could have all those smart buckies that you see on the road, you know?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I've seen people going with it. Yes, exactly, yeah. You know, fully kitted out with off-road trailers and basically taking half the house with.
I suppose that's where you have the opportunity to actually test out what equipment you have bought and, you know, how effective it is in the bush.
So I think, Adil, first round we go that way there.
Inshallah.
As you go, you start sacrificing a bit more.
Well, we started a thing where we go with the bare minimum, you know, and well, it's been quite interesting. Hussein, tell us now, when you there, I'm not sure, Molana, how are we doing for time?
Not too good, but okay.
Last question, Hussein, last question. You get to the camp, you set up and whatever it is, what's your program for the day?
So basically, on the first day, you basically all the guests meet in Mopani,
yeah.
And this is at about 1 o'clock. From Mopani at about 2 o'clock, you depart to the bush camp, which is approximately about 25 k from Mopani camp. Once you get to camp, you set up your camp. Everybody sets up the tent, and basically everyone is supposed to be self sufficient. So you all the guys set up their own tents. And then we do a short walk in the afternoon from the camp, probably about, not more than 3 k's or whatever. In fact, there's a water hole that's about 400 meters away from the camp.
Mm. Okay.
So in most cases, in the first day, the guys just take a walk to the water hole, see what's there, and they obviously come back and then prepare for the evening. You know, either braai or make your food or whatever. And the next morning, basically, you go out for a longer walk, probably anything between 8 to 15 k's.
Mm.
And then you get back. So basically, you're leaving after Fajr. You leave after Fajr at first light, and you get back to camp about 10 o'clock. You have a nice breakfast, you know, brunch, and then you leave for the rest of the day. In the afternoon, you'll do a short walk again. And basically, it's the same repeated for over the next 2 days.
Okay, so you enjoy sort of being in the bush, walking, doing the walking trails and stuff like that, getting to see quite a number of different variety of species, from the tiniest to the largest.
Brother Hussein, just one question. You know, you say that at night in the camp you're allowed to have a braai, right? doesn't the fire attract certain types of animals to actually come and switch them off?
Generally, no. Generally, they are more afraid of us when we're out in the bush.
Mm.
And you know, especially when in the evening when you're sitting around the fire and talking and stuff like that, I mean, the guys are making a fair amount of noise and stuff like that. So animals generally don't. I mean, if you're afraid if you're afraid that, you know, something's going to come and attack you while you're sitting around the fire or whatever, generally, like I said, I mean, like with a hyena as well, it came more out of curiosity to see what was happening. You know, what was happening here. They generally, when they see the fire and stuff, they're not going to come close.
Mm-hmm. So, Hussein, jazakumullah for your time. It was much appreciated. Something very interesting, I think, for ourselves and for the listeners out there. And we hope you'll join us sometime soon again on the areas of Radio Islam International.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Mulana Sajjad Timon.
Streaming reels on Radio Islam, casting you into the exciting world of fishing. Screaming Reels was sponsored by Solly's Angler's Corner, your fishing tackle specialist. Call us at Johannesburg on 011-493-1848 and Fourways on 011-465-2937.